The program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of TriSceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. TriSceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And guess who's in the studio with me today? Who are you? Alisa Profumo. Yes, she's in the studio with me today. We're trying to work her into more shows, but she's reluctant. But this is an important. Yeah, I want you to do more shows with you, with me all the time. I tell you that.
Okay.
You going to start doing shows with me more often? Come on, the audience is listening.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, but there's a really important reason why you're here today, because you actually have experience in the subject matter we're going to be talking about during the first hour. The first hour of today's show, we're going to be talking about a do-it-yourself approach to treating both tennis elbow or golfer's elbow, which you have suffered from both.
At the same time.
And you play neither tennis nor golf, which is pretty impressive.
Go figure.
But more importantly, then later in the show, to round up this discussion, we're going to have Brooks Kubik on talking about how to build stronger forearms, bulletproof forearms with bone-crushing grip, and hopefully will be the antidote for getting these types of injuries in the future. Our guest during the first hour is April Abel, and she actually is a personal friend as well, correct?
She is.
How you doing, April?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Now, Alisa, just tell the audience, because I think people need to maybe hear it from you and commiserate. How long have you struggled with this overuse injuries? You've had tennis elbow in which arm?
In the left arm.
Left arm. And you have golfer's elbow in the right arm.
Right arm.
Okay, okay. And you've struggled with pain related to these overuse injuries for how long now?
Several months.
Okay. I mean, really.
Constant pain.
I mean, it wakes you up at night. It throbs into your hand, right?
Right. I mean, okay. The dull ache constantly.
Right. And it's actually affected your training, right?
I started losing my strength. I couldn't do bicep curls. I couldn't work, do so many of things like shoulder presses, bench presses. I couldn't do anything because my elbows were in pain.
Right.
So then I called my good friend April and said,
and April,
help.
And April is a physical therapist.
She is.
Okay.
Yes.
So she's qualified to actually do this. Uh-huh. Now, April, how frequently is it that this is the reason people come to you for this type of overuse injury related to the elbow?
Oh, it's actually quite often when somebody comes in with elbow pain, it is typically a tennis elbow. Tennis elbow, you know, being more the outside of the arm, more than the golfer's elbow, which is more the inside of the elbow. It's actually a kind of a 7-to-1 ratio of the golfer's elbow, I beg your pardon, the tennis elbow to golfer's elbow.
Wow. And yeah. Is that because we have more people play tennis than golf?
No. Probably poorly. That's the problem, if you like me.
How do people hurt the – okay, let's just use a little terminology. We have the epicondyle and we have the medial epicondyle. The epicondyle is the outer portion of the elbow, that bony knob there, mm-hmm. where the tennis elbow occurs. What stimulates this injury most? Is it the pulling movements like rowing and stuff like that?
Well, it is. It's more actually what we're finding is that it's associated with grasping an object during an activity. So repetitive grasping, and for the case of lateral epicondylitis or the tennis elbow, it is with wrist extension. So if you put your arm kind of in that position where you're grasping a tennis racket, or in the case of Alisa, a barbell, a weight, and then going into wrist extension, bringing the hand kind of back, then that's actually going to really torque that region. And what ends up happening is you overuse that area. It pulls constantly on that bone, that place where it's actually attached. When it pulls constantly on it, eventually you're going to get some breakdown unless you figure out how to reduce the actual pressure that's building up in that region. If you keep breaking it down, then something's going to happen to your body, and you've kind of got to deal with it.
Now, for lack of better terms, and let's focus on tennis elbow for this portion of the show.
Okay, good.
For lack of better terms, the area where it attaches, the lateral epicondyle, is kind of like a tether point.
Yes.
And this is why those tennis elbow braces that you see people wearing midway in their forearm work, because what it basically does is it tethers the muscle in a different point as opposed to where it attaches to the bone, correct?
That's exactly right. It's they're called a counterforce brace, and it's actually a hard brace or strap on kind of close to the elbow, but a little bit down, and it's right just probably about an inch or so below that area, and it's more on the muscles themselves, those wrist extensors, and what it actually does, it decreases the full expansion of that muscle.
Right.
So what it actually does, it decreases that potential force that's pulling on that region. That's why they work. But eventually, see, people just really tend to rely on this. They'll get out, 6 months later, they're playing tennis, they still have these things on. But you don't want that. You want to be able to take it out. You want to have full strength in those forearm muscles. Elisa certainly wants full strength in those muscles. So at some point, you got to take that off, and you got to figure out what's going on and fix the problem.
Now, the real issue at hand here with any of these overuse injuries is that this soft tissue that we're talking about is pretty much avascular. There's really very little blood flow to it, correct?
Yes.
And is that where the problem comes from? Because there's so little blood flow, it's hard to heal this area?
Yeah, it really is. It's actually, we were talking a little bit, Elise and I, about a tendonitis. And, typically people will say that it's, this is more of a tendonitis. But that implies an inflammatory reaction to a tendon injury, microscopic tearing and inflammation that comes from it. And that typically happens initially. And what happens at that point, if you don't take care of it and you keep on lifting through the pain, you kind of just ignore it, thinking it's going to go away, is eventually there's going to be a degeneration. And you're going to get that tendon to actually... it's going to break down, and then it's going to keep trying to repair itself. The fibroblasts, those things that make the collagen or connective tissue, they're going to keep on laying down collagen, and that does interrupt the blood flow. And that collagen is in a very disorganized pattern. So what happens is, originally when you do it, and when Elisa was lifting, she got some fatigue, but then it got into infrastructure breakdown. And as you say, a vascular compromise to the tissue. So, of course, what does blood do? Blood brings nutrients to the area and makes you heal. If you don't have good blood flow, you're not getting that healing potential that you really, really need.
And when this problem becomes chronic, quite often as a result of the muscles trying to protect themselves, as they did with you, Elisa, you said you became weaker.
Right.
That's a self-protection preservation mechanism. The body says, I don't want to injure myself further. Right. But what ends up happening is, quite often, is the muscles will begin to atrophy. They'll start to become catabolized. The muscles become smaller.
And that's what I was afraid of, and so that's why I came running to April.
Now, interestingly enough, when you went to April, she forewarned you with the very first session that you had with her, and we're going to be talking about this session when we come out of the break, and there's actually going to be a support document in the blog that people can download. Because this is something you can do yourself. It's great if you have access to someone like April, but with what April has done here with pictures and some identification of the process, you can have someone do this for you if you suffer from this type of an injury. But when your first session came about, what did April tell you getting prepared to do your first session?
She called me on the phone. She was on the way over, and she said, you probably need to drink lots of red wine before I get there, because this is really going to hurt.
Recommend it to all my patients.
Now, did it hurt? Did it hurt?
Yes, it hurt really. I couldn't breathe. A couple times it hurt so badly, I felt like I was had the breath knocked out of me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And did it hurt? Did that exacerbate the pain later on in the day?
No, actually, later on in the day, the pain was gone. You know how I described earlier that I had just a constant dull ache all the time?
Right.
That was gone after she worked on me almost instantly.
Now, you're not done with this. You've had how many sessions with April so far?
Three.
and tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain that you had early on, and 1 being it's gone, where are you right now after 3 sessions?
I'm probably at about a 3 now.
Really?
I still have I was lifting the other day, and I still had a little bit of pain in the left arm, but the right arm is almost totally gone.
Now, April, is this common? I mean, how many sessions does it usually take before we go into the break here for people to start to even see some sort of resolution to the pain?
Typically, you would get it. Well, there'd be a few. Maybe after 3 sessions, they start to feel quite a significant difference, but it really takes, you know, 6 to 10 sessions. And Elisa is superhuman, it seems. So she got done. She actually had the decrease very quickly, which does happen occasionally. Typically, it'll take, you know, 2-3 weeks before people really, you know, start understanding and believing in it. But there's, you know, there's so much more that that person has to do. You've got to be very careful and very stringent with your activities after that, because you can't keep, you know, breaking it down
right.
You start to feel better. Okay. So she's very good about it.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get deeper into the actual technique. If someone had to go to a physical therapist to have 6 or 10 of these sessions done on just a single elbow, what do you think they would spend per session?
That depends on the clinic and your insurance.
Okay. How about a ballpark? Just a ballpark. Just trying to give people a feeling for value of what they're about to get on the air here. That's all.
Probably $100 a session,
okay.
I think, would be.
So this is about $600 worth of value here in a DIY approach to treating your own tennis elbow, golfer's elbow. We've got April Abel on the show with us today. You're going to learn how to do this yourself when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects: estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to aaefx.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge. charge today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I am in the studio, even though it's not Friday, with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo, who is helping me co-host today's show because she actually has more knowledge about this than I do because she went through it. I did not. And we are talking today with physical therapist April Abel, and we're talking about the do-it-yourself approach to treating tennis elbow and golfer's elbow, which basically the same things, just in different sides of the elbow. So let's start off with the DIY process that people will be able to download in the Superhuman Radio blog later today. You'll be able to get this document yourself with photos and instruction. The first thing that you have to do is you have to get a good lotion, but you don't want it to be too viscous. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And actually, quite a few people will do the transverse friction massage without an actual lotion. I like to get one, though, that's almost waxy, because I like to kind of warm up the area first. And the key, really, to doing the procedure is that you don't want to slide over the skin. You want to actually be able to press down and take the skin with you, if you can kind of visualize that, because you want to get deep into the underlying tissue.
Okay, and you did say that this is called a transverse friction massage. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So first, what you like to do, and I'm just going to take you through the DIY that you set up.
Okay.
So you take the lotion, apply it to the area. If you're doing the tennis elbow, it's on the outside area of the elbow. And you like to start low on the forearm and rub upward to get the blood flowing into this area. Is that why you do that, to get the blood flowing, or is there something else taking place when you do this massage?
Well, it's a few different reasons. It's well, when I do it, it's also to get the person to like me before I get deeper into it.
So yeah, right. So kind
of
like
it is to get the blood flowing. You're absolutely right. And if there is any inflammation, especially in in somebody who has more of an acute lesion, if it's acute, then I'm more worried about that acute swelling. So that's, I'm starting to do that. If it's something that just happened, or it's just a few days old and there's still quite a bit of swelling in through there, in particular, I will get in there and start to work it. I am also loosening up the tendons, because I'm getting in there in just a minute to try to really work on the insertion point of those muscles that go into the bone there. So I want the whole muscle to be relaxed.
Gotcha.
So that's when I kind of start with that. But you're right, I'm also going for that kind of inflammatory, help, where you go from, distal to proximal, from outside to inside, to help that kind of encourage the blood flow and the swelling to be absorbed into the body.
Right. Okay. So then the next step that you have detailed here is to actually identify the area of the greatest pain, right? You really want to, and this is something that's kind of counterintuitive, because when we think about treating pain, we think about relieving pain. We don't think about exacerbating pain. Right?
Well, that's true. That's true. But with this kind of an injury, it's always, as a physical therapist, you're always trying to figure out the site of the injury. And as something worsens, especially in Elisa's case, as something worsens, it goes to further areas. It actually radiates out. With Elisa, it went all the way down to your hand.
Yeah, it did.
It went into your elbow. It actually went up some. It's and that tells me that's a worse condition.
Did it ever affect your bicep? Did you ever feel pain in your bicep, Elisa?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
But you did in the back, right? Kind of in the elbow itself, and actually, if I remember correctly, more into your tricep insertion.
Yes, that's correct. April is correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, on that one side, yeah. But that was the worst of the two sides.
So now the real target area for tennis elbow is
right. The
lateral epicondyle, which is kind of like a little bony knob on the outer portion of the elbow. But it's actually, if you think of the elbow joint with the actual, what's the word I'm looking for? The capsule being the equator, it's slightly below the equator.
Correct.
Slightly below the capsule.
Correct. You want to get really on the area that's about to insert onto that bone. That's where it is, and Elisa can elaborate on this, but it's typically the most painful.
Was it very painful?
Oh yes, it was very painful.
And she dug right into it. We're gonna talk about that. But when you saw her doing what she was doing, were you like, oh my God, could this really be good for me?
Well, after the first treatment, it felt so much better. I knew it was good for me.
In fact, you had a friend who was very concerned about you when you told her what was being done. She said, is that really good for you?
Uh-huh.
It's like, and people, I think, again, it's this counterintuitive, this whole concept of re-injuring. You know, you get an injury and you want it to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't re-injure yourself. But in this particular case, the body has stalled from completely healing the spot. And the only way to get the body to pay attention to it again is to re-injure it, but in a very methodical approach. Because obviously, Elisa was re-injuring it every time she did her exercises.
Right.
But that didn't cause it to heal. But what you did cause it to heal. So then you took your thumbs and you put them in opposing positions and you actually dragged them across the tendons where the muscles insert to this little knob of bone, correct?
That's correct. You really want to go at a kind of a 90-degree angle, almost perpendicular to the way the fibers run. And that's the way you're going to be going back and forth, because what you're trying to do is, if you have all of this scar tissue in there and it's laying down haphazardly, what I'm trying to do is actually kind of break them apart, make them so they're actually in those kind of nice parallel strands again. You know, we're trying to actually induce blood flow. We're trying to align those fibers again so the healing is actually done much better, much stronger, so we can actually resist the forces that she's going to be putting on it later. You know, we're trying to align it. So you got to go perpendicular to it.
Now, what kind of pressure are you applying? Obviously, you're applying enough pressure to cause pain, but are you really applying the kind of pressure that causes re-injury, or is it just the pain signal that tells the body, get over here, take care of this?
Yeah, basically it's that. You really want to start with a light pressure. I know Lisa, I know what she can take. You know, when you start to do it on yourself, or if you're helping out another person, you really want to start light. You know, you want to do the proper motion, make sure you're going perpendicular, make sure you're in the right spot. But you start light. You're going to do it for approximately 3 to 5 minutes, and the depth of it is what they can take. But really, when they start to feel pain, I think that would be a good guide for the first treatment. Just kind of an uncomfortable feeling, but not to the point, you know, that I had to take Elisa because it was becoming such a chronic thing. If you're doing this, the first treatment, you know, you're going to want to do it to the point where you're getting some discomfort, but not really putting the person in a lot of pain until you figure out how they're going to react to it.
So you do this for 3 to 5 minutes. That seems like a long time. I know. I remember you going through it. I mean, you were actually in severe pain for that whole time.
Not the whole time, because she was getting me prepared by, you know, doing the manipulation prior to digging in deep, so
right.
It wasn't painful the whole time.
And then also, April, you give a. It's not a constant 3 to 5 minutes. You're giving her breaks in between, right? You're applying pressure using the transverse massage the way it's depicted in the document that people
right.
will have. But then you're doing that for what? Maybe 30, 45 seconds at a time, and then you're kind of easing up.
And then I'm easing up on when you have to get as deep as I did. Yeah, you got to give the person a break. If you're going for, you know, the first treatment where it's moderate, but it's not so deep, you can actually go for the full 3 to 5 minutes. And actually, what's going to happen, and after a certain period of time, you will actually cause a bit of pain relief. Carl, I know you could speak to this, you know, the type 1 and 2 mechanoreceptors producing an anesthesic effect.
Right.
So that actually does happen. People will get to a point where it really doesn't hurt so much.
Well, that also has a lot to do with the fact that when the nerves in that area become so confounded with pain, the actual transference of nerve information at the synapse becomes overwhelmed, and you have a shutting down.
That's
the
right.
body starts to shut down. It says, look, you know, I know we're in pain. I don't need to keep getting this alarm anymore.
Right.
And now I have to protect the brain from this overwhelming pain message. So I'm just going to shut you guys off. We know you're in pain already. We know there's a problem here, but we're just not going to take any new information. So the body becomes a little overwhelmed. A lot of people call this peripheral shock. But, yeah, it is very common. So you do have an almost anesthetic effect. The body self-anesthetizes itself to protect itself.
That's right. And that is, you know, one of the things that that happens from this massage, which I think really does help. And, you know, so you're going to do that. The amplitude of the motion is pretty important, too. You're really not going far. You want to stay in that area.
Uh-huh.
So you're going across the tendon, and really it's only about an inch, maybe two if it's a bigger forearm. But you really just want to stay in there, and the skin moves with you. If you are slipping over the skin, wipe some of the lotion off and get in there, because you just want to stay on that tendon. You don't want to cause, you know, a breakdown of the skin.
Okay.
Which
now,
can happen if you're careful.
After you've applied 3 to 5 minutes of transverse friction massage to the area, you are then going to have the candidate stretch this area out completely, right? Because some casting takes place. Because of the pain, the muscles want to protect themselves, so they cast. They start to get stiff, right?
Yes. Yes. And at this point, you've got to, and you have to, again, know the limits, because you don't want to overstretch the area, because you've just kind of flared it up some. You don't want to overstretch, but a light stretch is a great idea, or even light resistance, you know, even an isometric contraction.
Mm-hmm.
But something to get the muscles now moving some is a wonderful idea after it.
Okay. Now, for those of you who are interested, if you have someone who is suffering from tennis elbow, and we're going to talk about golfer's elbow when we come back from the break, there is a document in the Superhuman Radio blog, courtesy of April and Elisa, and a photographer who shall remain unnamed, just in case the pictures don't look good. But this, you know what? This is very valuable. Overuse injuries, people suffer from overuse injuries sometimes for years, even decades.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go to an orthopod, and they'll be offered a choice of something like a COX-2 inhibitor like Celebrex, let's say, or cortisone injections, which neither of these really cure the problem. They just mask the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about here is really ridding yourself of this problem forever so you can move past it and be a total human being again. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with April Abel about the approach to treating golfer's elbow with this same transverse friction massage. I'm in the studio with the lovely and talented and super strong Elisa Profumo, because she can take pain. I can't do it, but she can. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects: estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. CoQ10 is
is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
What up, y'all? Yeah.
Soundtrack, what's poppin', baby?
Woo! If y'all ain't know, I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco. Representing that first and 15. Yeah. And this one right here.
Wow, you got to see Elisa Profumo dancing to this one.
That's a great song. April, are you dancing too?
I am. I haven't stopped.
This is a good song. Okay. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a love fest with Bob Marley and Lupe Fiasco. James Brown, could you believe this? What a mashup. Anyway, we're talking today with April Abel. We're talking about how to treat your own overuse injury of the elbow. We talked about tennis elbow. Now we're going to talk about golfer's elbow. First of all, how's the etiology of or the origination of golfer's elbow different than tennis elbow? I understand it's in a different spot on the elbow, but obviously the kinesiology has to be different as well, right?
It is. Being the different side of the elbow, you've got, instead of the extensors on the outside of the elbow that actually kind of brought your wrist back, it's actually the part of the elbow where the flexors attach. And so anytime you actually flex your hand now, bringing it in, then you're going to have that kind of a pulling on that region. Or if you pull, if pushing your hand back really, really far, you're stretching that region. So depending on what you're doing, you're getting different sides of the elbow itself.
Okay, so I'm just curious about something.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. If a golfer gets golfer's elbow,
mm-hmm.
does he get it in the arm that is behind the club or the arm that's pulling the club?
It can be either, believe it or not.
Really?
Because, you know, when you're going into your takeaway, you're using, you know, one arm to get into that one position. And then as you're going to your follow through, and if you're a right-handed player, you're using your left arm to kind of pull the club through, then you're really forcing those extensors, the outside of your elbow now, to pull up your wrist into that position.
Right.
So okay. It really depends on where you're basically breaking down your swing.
Well, is it common for someone to have – I have to believe that Elisa's mm-hmm. situation is unique, that she has both tennis elbow and golfer's elbow at mm-hmm. the same time. I developed tennis elbow from doing heavy rowing movements – mm-hmm. a decade ago when I first started training, but it was in both of my arms, in the same spot in both of my arms, mm-hmm. not one on the inside, one on the outside. Is this unique that she would be plagued by both of them at the same time?
Well, it is unique. Alisa, you're unique, but we knew that.
We've always known she's unique already.
So we've always known
everything she does is unique, even when she injures herself.
Why would this be any different, right?
That's right. What we have to do, and what she has been doing, is you've got to break down your actual activity now. Because honestly, if you start to treat this, yeah, you're going to get better, but until you figure out what that is that broke you down in the first place, you're going to continue to have a problem. You're going to continue to break down and pull on it even as you get better. You know, if you think about the way people always think about this thing is a tennis injury. But once you think about it like this, all right, that area of the arm, you know, say I'm a right-handed tennis player, the outside, it is a very high stress load during, say, the backhand. Think about if I'm in the backhand. And what I'm actually doing is pulling the racket down very forcefully and into an extension of my right hand. So what that's doing is pulling on that one region of my elbow. So what can you do to modify it to make it better? Well, you can do very simple things. Increase the size of the grip so it doesn't turn so much in your hand.
Interesting.
Decrease the tension on the strings. Because if the tension on the strings are very, very tight, when I hit the ball, those forces are now dissipating into my arm. Okay, it's actually going to that area and it's causing more friction, more pain in that one region.
Mm-hmm.
And also, pros will even tell you, decrease the size of the head of the racket. Because if you're hitting the ball off center, you're causing the racket to turn.
Twist, gotcha.
That's exactly right. So, you know, this is how you have to break down whatever it is that you're doing. And you got to figure out what is causing the pain. You know, what is it that Alisa is doing while she is lifting during, you know, which exercise that she's doing?
Does it have to be lifting? Let me ask you a question. If someone were to drive a car and have their arm extended so far that they hyperextend or overextend the elbow, could that over time cause one of these injuries?
It could. Anything that is an overuse injury where you're putting your body in a less than ideal position that it's not made to do, you can cause a breakdown for sure. You know, if it hurts, basically, you know, our bodies are so much smarter than our minds, I swear. Our bodies tell us what we should and shouldn't be doing. If our body is telling us it's painful, we need to listen to it. You know, we need to change our position. If it still hurts, that means something. That means that there's a breakdown. We need to take care of it. You know,
okay.
If it's acute, we need to do something. If it's a muscular injury like this in the beginning, you need to do that old adage, you know, the RICE, the rest, ice, compression, elevation. You know, you need to be careful with it and immobilize it for a while. The problem is most of your listeners, and certainly Alisa included, and yourself, you're avid weightlifters. You know, you don't like to take the time off from
right.
the gym.
Right. We use the word work around an injury.
Precisely.
Try to work around. And quite often you can't really work around an injury. That's just something we tell ourselves so we don't have to take off. Well, no, I'm gonna do something so that I work around. The only way you can work around the injury is not to use the arm.
Precisely.
And you're not gonna do that. So.
Right. And most people don't. But the problem is, then you keep breaking it down. Yes, you can use the braces for sure. You can ice it down when it's inflamed. But you're never giving it the chance to heal.
Right.
You've got to treat it for sure. You have to. Eventually you have to. But the problem is sometimes people let it go too far and you get a complete tearing. You know, it can actually get to the point when you're talking stage 3 and 4, there's complete structural failure or rupture. And then there could be calcification.
Right.
And you know what that can do.
Right. And sometimes, and I want to talk about golfer's elbow. We're going to kind of breeze through this a little bit because it's pretty much the same thing. Process as treating tennis elbow, except you're working on the inside of the arm. And also, you're not using, you're using your thumbs as you do in the transverse friction massage, but I also noticed that you use the knuckle of the first knuckle to kind of dig into that area a little bit. That area seems to be a little fleshier. Is it harder to get in there than it is the outside of the elbow?
It really depends on how deep you have to go. You can use either, But I like a bony prominence. I like the knuckle.
Right.
If I, you know, it gives me a little more control. It's not as taxing on my fingers if I have to do a lot of manual work on people. So I like the knuckle. It's supported. I can get a lot of force. And ideally, you know, you're going to get kind of a 90-degree force. And that really kind of sets you up for a nice position. So I like either, but it depends on, you know, how deep I have to go and how small a position, a place.
So the process is pretty much the same. You mm-hmm. work it for 3 to 5 minutes.
Correct.
And then you have there's stretches on the document that show you which way to stretch the hand, the forearm for both tennis elbow and golfer's elbow. And then how frequently do you repeat the transverse friction massage treatment, or how far apart sessions need to be spread?
Well, what I like to do, and it also depends on the intensity. With Elisa, it's very intense, and probably with a lot of your listeners, they're at this point where they need the treatment, and then I would give it ice because you're, you know, unfortunately at this point of it, certainly with Elisa, she had such a flare-up, ice is going to help to control the swelling.
But
after.
See, I have a question for you about ice,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Ice absolutely will control the swelling.
Right.
But is ice the best thing if you're trying to increase blood flow? Wouldn't it be better to put up with the pain and a little bit of swelling? Because ice has a tendency to reduce the vasculature in the area by constricting it.
Right, but you also want to get some of the byproducts of the healing to get absorbed. So, and with, you know, the byproducts can also be very painful. So you want to try to get blood flow for sure, and that's what the treatment is doing, but then you want it to be taken away. You want the byproducts to be taken away. So you are encouraging actual flow in the region.
Mm, okay.
So I like that. But, you know, some people don't do the ice after. I like it. It's also, you know, kind of a pain-relieving mechanism as well.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Elisa is nodding right now when you said anticipation. She started nodding. Yes, it is. That was it. So between the ice and the wine, good to go.
I was good to go.
That's good. All right, look what we're going to do. We're going to take our last commercial break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk about something else, kind of get off the course here. Because everybody who's listening to the show right now, the document is on the Superhuman Radio blog by the time you hear this show. If you're listening live, it'll be up there in about an hour and a half. If you're listening to a podcast, it's up there. Look in the blog. You can download the document, and it's a complete DIY how to do it yourself. And hopefully it will alleviate some real stress and pain for many of you and help you heal this problem. April, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about something a little different, okay?
Okay.
All right. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Brooks Kubik is going to come on and talk to us about how to build super strong forearms so they never have these problems in the first place. Or let's say if you're recovering from this problem, how to ensure that it doesn't happen again. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E. ER.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose
between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Alisa, you said something during the break. It's a really important question.
Right. April, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Should myself and other people who are experiencing this not lift while until the pain is totally gone and until it's totally healed? Or what are your suggestions on that?
Well, when it's acute, if it just happened, you've really got to listen to it and not ignore it, like you should have done about 4 months ago.
Yes, ma'am.
Call me next time. I could use more wine.
Exactly.
But you want to put some ice on it. You want to rest it. There's no question you need to rest the area before it goes into this next stage, into this tendinosis stage that you're in. Okay? You want to just get it so it's actually healed. After that point, you can start doing light activities, and it's a gradual thing. You know, you start light, you see if you can do some light exercise, light stretching, light kind of strengthening exercise. You know, ice it down after. Pay attention to it. If it still hurts you, you got to back down. And let your body tell you when you can increase what you're doing. But the important thing for that stage is you got to figure out what it was that started it, and you got to change that. You know, and a lot of times, I'm actually glad you said that, Lisa, a lot of times we neglect to look at the neck, the shoulders, the other parts that are connected, the wrist. You know, we need to look and see if there's any imbalances there, because if there are, then you're going to be moving funny when you're lifting. You know, you're not going to be keeping, you know, your shoulders level. You're not going to be keeping your body level. And you're going to be overusing certain parts of your body.
What about visual imperfections? People, I've heard even the way a person gazes, their stare can actually change the angle of movement and so on.
Oh, there's no question. Absolutely. Your orientation can be completely
changed. Well, and that kind of leads us to one of the things that you're most passionate about right now.
Yeah.
You're very passionate about balance, aren't you?
I am. I've been very fortunate to work with a wonderful program with Gentiva, which is the company that I work with now, which is actually the largest home health and hospice company in the nation. And I am a, it's called Safe Strides Director now. I've kind of gone full circle with all of my, with the therapy that I've researched and been treating with. And now I am, well, basically in a balance and fall prevention program, and I help to treat people and to really, you know, get the research out there to people and prevent falls in a lot of our, you know, people that need to not be falling. A lot, if you think about our elderly, I've kind of gone to working with some wonderful people who really need to not fall. But bringing it into your audience, our balance is so important. And, you know, if you stand on one leg and try closing your eyes, see how hard that is. You know, it is many different balance systems in our body. And we ignore a lot of the systems. And if we're weak in our visual input, or if we're weak in actually our inner ears, our vestibular system, then that's something that we have got to address. But that's for another time.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I know that you're really passionate about that.
I mean,
the number one reason that an elderly person is generally hospitalized, institutionalized, mm-hmm. that they can't live on their own is usually from a fall.
That's
so
exactly
it is a big deal. I know. And there's a lot of fall prevention programs out there nowadays, people who are trying to initiate fall prevention programs to help elderly people from having these types of problems. But, okay, so in summary, mm-hmm. up on our blog later today, if you're listening live, and if you're listening to the podcast, it should be up there already, you will find a complete DIY with photos and instructions on how to take care of your own tennis elbow and golfer's elbow. But I wonder, can I do this myself? Do I have to have like someone else do it for me? So if this happens to me, I have to ask Elisa to do it? Or is it possible that I could dig in deep enough and massage the area myself?
Well, first of all, make sure she's not mad at you if she has to do this to you.
Then she definitely shouldn't do it to me today. Because she probably ripped my arm off below the elbow.
Well, you wouldn't be worrying about it anymore then.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'd like another person to do it if possible. And the only reason is because they get the angles correct, you know, and you want to be at a 90-degree angle if you think about the orientation of the muscle, because you will certainly get the most benefit from it. You can do it yourself, but you have to be very cognizant of your positioning. And if you get to this phase where it is, you know, such a chronic thing, and you have to be a little tougher on yourself, it's harder to keep that position, you know, while you cause yourself some discomfort.
You know what I found works, and I didn't realize what I was doing until after I was, and I may have shared this story with you, but it's worth sharing on the air too. I had plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
And we talked about how painful that is, how
you
wake up in the morning, you're so rigid, your feet don't want to bend.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I had been in Florida for a vacation, and one morning got up and ran on the beach barefooted, mm-hmm. down close to the shoreline where the sand is the densest, and was digging my heels in and felt the relief, which is similar to what Elisa felt when you started working on her.
Right.
And the next morning when I woke up, my foot wasn't as stiff, mm-hmm. and so I did it again, and I did that for the entire time I was in Florida, and it went away. And that's when I started to understand this whole concept of re-injuring something to get it to heal. Mm-hmm. Well, when I had my tennis elbows from doing heavy rowing with incorrect form, mm-hmm. Pulling with my brachials more than my back, basically, is what I was doing. I got a canvas bag and filled it with sand from my then children's sandbox, and used to sit and watch television and have my arm crossed laid across my upper chest, my lower chest, upper abdomen, and would take this sandbag, which was the size of a sandwich, if you will, like a white bread sandwich, and slam it against the epicondyle constantly, over and over again, while I would watch television.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this to both arms, and over the course of about a month and a half, the tennis elbow went away completely.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I use sand is because the sand worked for me in Florida with my heel, and I thought, well, maybe it conforms to the shape and it applies uniform pressure or something like that.
Well, that's you know, a form of this, you know, I'm sure. You know, you are actually causing, you know, a deep massage to that area. And it's, yeah, that certainly would work. I like the idea of going to Florida, though. And
I know, that sounds good.
Maybe that's what we need to do to alleviate the pain completely. Just go to Florida one weekend, and then maybe
that's
the pain
it.
Will go away. What do you think,
it'll
Lisa?
It'll cure all that ills.
I agree with you, okay. With both of you.
Okay. Anyway, listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the air today. I know that you gave up your lunch hour, but promise me that you will not eat McDonald's today.
I wouldn't touch your stuff.
Did you see Elisa's blog post about McDonald's hamburger?
I did, and it's absolutely frightening.
And isn't that awful?
How many reposts did you get of that so far?
70. No, I think it was 80 reposts of that.
80 reposts. I mean, and here we find out that there are more people out there that have done something similar. We're going to do it here at Superhuman Radio because I want to see it myself.
We're going to go buy a hamburger and put it in a box, a shoe box, and put holes in it like it's a pet.
Right, right, right. But let's be honest why we're putting it in a shoe box, because Elisa said, well, we have to put it in something and get it out of the house because I don't want the house to stink like McDonald's hamburgers.
Oh, God, that's a good point.
So we'll put it in a shoe box and either put it in the basement or out in the garage,
right?
And let it sit there. And every day we will take a photograph of it, and we will put something that is date stamped, like the cover, the front page of a newspaper, for those people who say, "Oh, you know, that really isn't that old." We're going to do that ourselves, just to satisfy our own interest in whether or not McDonald's is bionic food. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, April, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And so stay tuned.
Thanks, April.
Oh, sorry. I turned her mic off. Go ahead. Thanks, April.
Thank you, April.
it's my pleasure.
All right. See you
Bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have Brooks Kubik on, and I believe that Elisa will be gone.
I'll be exiting the studio now.
I hate this part. I hate this part. But okay. When we come back, we'll have Brooks Kubik on. We're going to be talking about how to build those strong forearms and hopefully bulletproof them against these types of injuries using dinosaur training. We'll be right back.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang. He shot me down. Bang, bang. I hit the ground.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye. eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. And guess what? I am the luckiest man in the world. Elisa has not left the studio. She's still here. She said maybe because she wants to listen to Brooks. And so she wanted to stay in the studio for that. Thank you for staying.
Hi, Brooks.
Hi, Elisa. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Anyway, okay. So this is an important subject. We just talked about what to do after you've injured your elbows. And let's face it. The elbows are dependent on what group of muscles? The forearms. And having strong forearms, bulletproof forearms, forearms that are capable of crushing a hand. What a great thing that is, huh? When you shake somebody's hand and they go, wow, that's a strong handshake. Brooks Kubik is going to tell us about dinosaur training for your forearms. Okay, Brooks, is it really necessary to train forearms? I mean, Mike Metzger never did any direct forearm training, and he had massive forearms. What was the story with that?
He probably gripped things really, really hard when he trained, for example, when he did those deadlifts and so on.
Right, right.
You know, but, you know, you have to remember, Mike Metzger was, the word is overused, or the term is overused, but he was a genetic freak.
Right.
I mean, he had very unusual body structure. The muscle bellies were really, really massive. And he was able to build, you know, huge freaky forearms, huge freaky calves without doing a lot of work for them, you know.
Right.
Remember, too, he did a lot of Nautilus training. And, you know, back in the day, the Nautilus manifesto had you very carefully not squeezing, not holding on to those hand grips when you were doing exercises.
Right.
Even when you were doing curls, you were supposed to do them, you know, with a relaxed grip so you didn't raise your blood pressure. Interesting way of training, and not exactly something that I would suggest people do.
I agree. 100%. All right. So for those of us mere mortals who want to achieve superhuman conditioning and want to have beautiful forearms and strong forearms, what should we do?
Okay. Well, let me start real quickly with what doesn't work. What you should not do. You know, first of all, most people ignore their forearms. You know, they think biceps, maybe they think triceps, they forget about the forearms. They don't do anything at all for them. Big mistake. You want forearms, you know, I'm going to talk about it just from an appearance standpoint for just a second. Forearms are the mark of somebody who's really serious about their training. Someone who is strong, not only looks strong, but is strong. And, you know, when you're assessing someone's development, if they have thick, massive wrists, corded wrists with the tendons and ligaments standing out, if they have big, thick forearms, that means they're doing a lot of heavy training. You know, so it's a giveaway. And John McCollum in the Keys to Progress series, you know, he made a note that even in the wintertime, if you're wearing long sleeve shirts, you know, if you just roll them up a little bit over your forearm, all of a sudden, bang, everybody thinks, wow, that guy lifts weights. You know, and you know, the forearms and the neck when you're wearing clothes.
I was just going to say, the forearms and traps. Forearms, traps, and neck. I mean,
yeah.
They're thick, they're bulging, they're proud, and people go, wow, that guy works out, even with the with a shirt on. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this came home to me one time, you know, when I was working in my law practice. I was taking a deposition. And I always had a problem when I was wearing dress shirts. I had to button them at the neck, wear a tie and everything. And the problem was, you know, no matter what I wore, I was always too tight. And so for this deposition that I was taking, where you're asking questions of the witness in a conference room situation with a court reporter taking down the questions and the answers, I unbuttoned my long-sleeve shirt at the wrist and just rolled it up one or two notches up over the forearm because it gave me a little bit more movement. I felt a little bit, you know, more comfortable. And I wanted to feel comfortable. I didn't want the witness to feel comfortable, but I wanted to feel comfortable. And so we go, and we're going through about 90 minutes or so. And normally in a situation like this, the other lawyer makes objections. You know, you ask a question, the lawyer says, objection, and, you know, you argue about the objection. But the other lawyer didn't say a word, very quiet, and so I was able to ask any question I wanted, and the witness answered them. And we took a break after 90 minutes. It had been going pretty well for me. And the witness says to me at the break, my God, I've never seen forearms like that in my life. All I can do is look at your forearms.
The witness said this.
Yeah, it was a woman in, get this, a sexual harassment case.
Oh, man.
So she says
Did she then say to you, you can harass me anytime, Mr. Kubik?
No, she didn't say that, but I sort of thought at that point that, you know, probably the deposition was really going my way.
Right. Right.
And then the lawyer says, this is the other lawyer, right? Sitting across the conference room table, he says, yeah, I've been afraid to say a word because I'm afraid he's going to rip my head off if I make an objection.
Oh, my God. Did he really say that?
Yes.
How embarrassing for him.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, squaring off in a courtroom where posturing is everything. This guy just gave away his hand. You should have said to him, you want to play poker tonight? That would have been it.
It gave me a certain sense of like, I think this one is a win for our side.
Yeah, you know? I would agree with that.
But I mean, you know, that's the power of simply a thick, muscular, obviously well-trained forearm, you know? Yeah. So just from the appearance standpoint, the forearm can speak volumes. Now, from the, you know, I went back, I said, what do you not do? Well, number one, you do not ignore the forearms. That's
right.
Number one.
Right.
Number two, most of the exercises that people do for the forearms are really not that good. It's wrist curls, reverse wrist curls, and sometimes reverse barbell curls. Not usually a whole lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And
the truth of the matter is, I mean, in your humble opinion, I think those are a waste of time to building forearms.
I do them and have done them in my life only rarely, recommend them infrequently. I mean, they're sort of change of pace exercises, but they're not the ones that really do what you want done.
Right. Why don't we do this? Mm-hmm. We're coming up really fast here on the break.
Okay.
Let's take the break now. Do you have other things you want to mention that you shouldn't be doing, or do you want to go right to the things that you should be doing when we come back from the break?
I'm going to give one thing you should not do, and then we're going to go into many things that you should do.
Okay. All right. So, look, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Brooks Kubik is going to reveal the secrets to having huge, thick forearms that could help you win a case in court. Who knows? Maybe. Hey, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everybody say yeah. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaheLer.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oh, no, we just went that way. No, we just went that way. No, we just went that way. There they go!
She's crazy like a fool.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Brooks Kubik. We're talking about building massive arms. Okay, Brooks, what's the thing that people should not be doing to build their forearms?
Okay, we were talking about exercises that aren't very good.
Right.
Reverse curls, wrist curls, reverse wrist curls, the standard fare that most people do if they do anything for the forearms.
Right.
And usually what they do with those, for some reason, people always think you train the forearms the way you train your calves, the way you train your abs, with high reps. And so you see people take a lightweight, maybe a 35-pound barbell, and they're doing reverse curls or doing wrist curls or doing 5 sets of 10, 5 sets of 15, something like that. That's not really accomplishing much of anything. That's, if anything, it's building a little bit of endurance into the forearm muscles, but it's not building strength, and it's not really getting down deep and doing what you need to do to trigger significant muscular growth. What you ought to be doing instead of that is the old-fashioned way of training the grip, the dinosaur way of training the grip, the way that the old-time strongmen train the grip. And Carl, I was just thinking at the break, let me ask you a question. What is the one part of the body that is more closely connected, more tightly linked to the brain than any other part of the body? Actually, keep it clean.
You stinker, you. The hand, I would say. The hand.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about
small motor coordination, you talk about agility, you talk about the speed in which information passes from the brain to the tips of the fingers so that you can manipulate and do things, the hand.
Yeah. And if you look at anatomy and physiology books, they often have drawings of the human body where they are portrayed, not their actual size, but their size relative to the brain when you're comparing nerve endings.
Right.
And the hands, and again, keep it clean. So hands are really number two. But but the hands are, they dwarf the rest of the body. You have so many nerve endings in the hands. Your nervous system is so tightly connected to the fingers, the thumbs, the hand, okay? And that's a big clue about why the old-fashioned way of training worked. The old-fashioned way of training was not focused on the forearm per se. It was focused on the hands, building the grip. And when you do that, you automatically thicken the wrist. And in addition to thickening the wrist, you build the forearms. And you start to trigger, I've never seen studies on this, but anecdotally, I believe it's true. Dr. Ken Leisner in the Steel Tip newsletter many years ago wrote about this, and I think he's right on point. If you do exercises that involve the grip, involve the hands, involve the fingers in a very strong way, you start to heighten the body's strength and muscular response in any kind of exercise you do. In other words, train your hands, train your grip, make them stronger. You'll become stronger throughout your entire body.
That makes perfect sense, too, because the hardest thing to focus on is your grip strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about it. There's a lot of guys out there who have strong backs, and with straps, they can pull significant amounts of weight in a deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't do it without straps. You talk to anybody who benches heavy, and they'll tell you the importance of training grip and brachials.
Mm-hmm.
In a heavy bench press. And
Absolutely. And
the hardest thing to focus on, it's almost like the hardest thing to signal, to get your nerves to work on, is your grip when you're really, really wrenching some heavy, heavy weight, you know, getting your grip mm-hmm. to function properly. And interestingly enough, the grip, I mean, the when you think about doing grip work, you think about holding heavy weights in your hands until they get so fatigued that they fall apart. We're really talking about static training, which I've learned is what calves respond to. I have a theory about it. We'll talk about it later. But so let's go. What is the best things to do for grip work?
Okay. One of the very best is one of the simplest, and you just alluded to it. It's what I call the power hold. And the power hold is simply you deadlift a barbell or you take it from the power rack with the bar set at knee height so that you stand up and you have the bar in the finished position of the deadlift. You're holding it not with a reverse grip, but with a double overhand grip. In other words, palms toward the body on both hands, knuckles facing away.
Right, because this puts you at the greatest compromise because the bar wants to unroll your hands.
Exactly. And then what you do is you hold it. You don't press it back against your legs and bend your legs so that your legs are taking the weight. You stand straight up, you let the bar hang, and you just hold on to it for as long as you can until literally it falls to the ground, falls to the floor. Now, how long do you do it? Doesn't really matter. It depends on how much weight is on the bar, how strong your hands are. You can do 3 sets of 20 seconds, you can do 3 sets of 30, you can do 3 sets of 60, you can do 2 sets of 60, 1 set of 60. You can try to hold a lighter bar for a longer period of time. It all has a training effect. And you can do different variations, doesn't matter at all. But the point is, you stand, you hold the bar, and you just absolutely hold it until it literally falls right out of your hands. And at that point, if you do it right, you will not be able to close your fingers.
Right. And your mm-hmm. forearms will have such an insane pump.
Yes.
That's what I find when I do, like, even when I do heavy farmer's walks. Let's face it, I could farmer walk from now till kingdom come if my grip would let me.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why they call it the farmer's walk, in part because farmers have or historically had ferociously strong grips. So anyhow, that is one exercise that anybody can do, and it's the one that I mentioned first because, you know, if you're training, you've got a barbell, and if you've got a barbell, you can do this exercise.
Right.
Now, the other thing that is very good about this exercise is for people who have not trained their forearm, their grip, their hands, they've not trained them before, this is a good, safe exercise that will start to build up the strength you need over time so you can move later on to more advanced exercises without doing things like what was on the episode before,
elbow problems. Yeah, injuring your elbows.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, it's really funny that you scheduled both of these shows back to back.
Brooks, yeah. I'm a genius. No, let's be honest. This happened by accident. I had the other girl, I had the other girl already set up. April was already set up to do the interview. I didn't have an interview set up for the second half. I call my pal Brooks and says, bail me out and come on the show. What do you want to talk about? He goes, let's talk about training forearms. I'm like, at first I go, no, I don't want to do that. Then I'm thinking, what am I, an idiot? That's a great idea. So I have to credit you for making the show theme based today. So there you go.
Well, I'm not sure who gets the credit there. Maybe April does.
Yeah, but, there you go.
But be a gentleman, give the lady the credit. But in that way, you won't get as much hate mail on the
website. Yeah, I'm already a sexist, good bastard on the internet. Yeah, you're right.
But in any event, it's a safe exercise. And when you go into heavy grip and forearm training, you really need to know, if you jump right in it and you're not using your head, you can get really sore. And basically, you can get tennis elbow that is going to be like no tennis elbow you've ever seen in your life. So start out with a regular barbell, the overhand grip. You know, you may want to start with just one set where you're holding onto a bar for 30 to 60 seconds, as long as you can. Gradually move up to two sets, three sets, but treat it like big medicine. It's tough stuff. Now, you might do that and nothing else for about a month. Another thing that you can do, related exercise, is simply hang from a chinning bar or a pull-up bar.
Right.
And again, you hang for as long as you can. And of course, you should be timing these things.
Because that's what you really, you're not doing reps and sets. You're doing this for time.
Exactly. And you need to make it competitive. You need to make it progressive. You need to hold on for as long as you can. And every time you do it, you want to try to beat your previous record.
Right.
And you're going to need either a wristwatch or a clock with a big second hand or, something where you can really focus and you know what you're doing. If all else fails, if you listen to music, find a piece of music that's, 2 minutes long and hang on from start to finish and do not dare fall off until the music is over.
Yeah, that's a good idea because you know why? You may start out with a long song that you cannot hold on to for that long and make the objective of doing it for the entire song.
Yeah.
That could be your goal.
Yeah. So, you got lots of options on how to do that. Now, that's the first thing to do. Second step that I would recommend, get what are called the Captain of Crush Grippers. You can get them at www.functionalhandstrength.com. They're the nutcracker kind of grippers, and they come in about five or six different strengths. And these are really strong grippers. The light ones are comparable to probably twice as strong as what you would normally get at a sporting goods store.
Right.
And they go up to 135 pounds, which is a good hard squeeze, 195 pounds, which is really impossible for most even strong, well-trained men.
Wow.
And then it goes up to like 280 or so pounds, which is almost impossible for anyone. I mean, really heavy stuff. Get those and you do, one, two, three sets with the appropriate strength gripper, something where you're getting 5-10 reps a set and really having to work hard on it. And, you close the thing with one hand. You hold it, let it open, you close it again, make it a real hard, tight, strong effort. do the right hand, do the left hand. The grippers are relatively inexpensive. They cost about $20.
So they really work, huh? I've never put a lot of stock in those. That's funny.
They are really, really useful tool. And
will that grip work translate to holding the bar longer, like in a deadlift or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
What about this idea that a lot of the powerlifters, and we have to go into the break
mm-hmm,
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of powerlifters talk about not holding the bar too tight and fatiguing the grip, but instead holding it loosely. Is there anything to that at all? I mean, obviously that's not going to build grip strength, but is that really something that powerlifters do?
You try that with a heavy deadlift, and you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's one that sounds better than it actually works.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up talking with Brooks Kubik about how to build bone-crushing grip and ultimately build huge forearms. Who knew by focusing on your grip that your forearms would get bigger? Stop doing those wrist curls, darn it. Vince Gironda would smack you. We'll be right back. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's OPResource.net. At OPResource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brooks Kubik today about building animal strength in your forearms, making them bigger at the same time when you focus on grip work. Who knew? I knew. My forearms never grew from anything I did until I started doing heavy farmer's walks. And nothing gave me like a painful pump in my forearms the way farmer's walks do. I mean, when you do farmer's walks right and you walk until the dumbbells start to unroll in your hands and you still hang on and you walk it out a little bit further and they literally, you're leaning over as they're falling from your hands just so that the 120 pound doesn't clamber to the ground. You want to get close to the ground and you let them go and you stand up and my forearms would be just in pain. They would be so pumped and I couldn't make a fist for 10 minutes. I'd have to, well, that's exaggeration, a few minutes. I'd have to wait a few minutes before I reach down and grab them again and walk some more.
Arthur Jones, the inventor of the Nautilus machines, wrote an article on grip training that was published in Muscular Development magazine back in, like, I think 1969 or early 1970. And one of the things he said was that when you were done training your forearms, if there were a key, like the key to your house, lying on the ground, you should not be able to pick it up. And you know, your hands just won't be able to do it, which is kind of an interesting test, but that's exactly what you're saying. I mean, you know, you train hard on the farmer's walk or the movements that I've been describing, and, you know, try that, drop a key on the ground or drop a quarter on the ground. If you drop a quarter on the ground and you can pick it up, you're not training hard enough.
Right. Right. So there you go. That's the answer. If you shouldn't be able to pick anything up, especially small little things like coins, something flat, something that takes a lot of small motor skills after you train forearms. And you know what? I have a theory about this too. I want to share with you. The forearms are like the calves. They are used to being bombarded with repetitions.
Yes.
The calves, I mean, you know, you see guys going in and doing calf raises, 10 reps. I don't care if you're using the whole stack, 10 reps, 15 reps. The calves are laughing. If you run up a flight of stairs, your calves are getting a greater degree of work being done than that right there.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, maybe all you can do because the weight is crushing down on your spine, on your shoulders, on your back, and you're taking all of this, but your calves don't care about that kind of work. The thing that stimulates calves to grow, I've found, is statics. You got to give it something it's not used to. The calves are not used to going into a completely contracted position with weight, loaded weight on it, and staying there as opposed to pumping out with reps. And I believe the same is true of the forearms. The forearms are used to grabbing things all day long. If you looked at each finger and counted the repetitions of what you do every day, you're doing tens of thousands of repetitions with every single muscle in your forearm. So repetitions aren't going to stimulate it to grow. You got to do static stuff, and that's where this grip work comes in. You grab onto something, you hold onto it, and you make those forearms fight and scream to keep those fingers curled. And when those fingers start to uncurl, that is when new muscle fibers are being recruited by new nerves that are going, wow, we better do something if this guy's going to do this kind of stuff all the time.
Completely agree.
Really?
You just nailed it. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's you know, it's funny. You and I have not done anything to rehearse this show.
Never talked about it before.
Never, and yet, you know, we're both exactly on the same page. It's funny.
Oh, that's great. All right, so what other? Okay, now let me ask you a question. How important is wrist position in building? I was once told that that grip strength is position sensitive. So in other words, if you practice, let's say, holding a bar with a double overhand grip, like we were talking about before, you will get strong in that position, but that does not necessarily translate to palms in strength or palms under strength. Would you agree with that, or is that a fallacy?
I would sort of agree and disagree. I mean, there's a specific training effect to anything you do, but in the grip realm, there are many, many different things that you can do. I mean, just think about all the different ways you can move your hand, move your fingers. And there's a carryover effect. So, you know, for example, you're doing the power holds that I was talking about, or you're hanging from the chinning bar. you know, you're working, and it's going to carry over to anything else that you do using your grip. It may not be a one-for-one carryover, but there will be some carryover. And that really leads me into the next point I was going to make, which is, you know, now you're starting to get your crushing hand power, your grip strength, where you crush like you were folding up a piece of paper in your hand, just balling it up into the tiniest little ball you can make. That's your crushing strength. That's mainly fingers. Right. What else do you need to work? You need to work your thumb. Okay. So how do you work your thumb? Well, one thing that you can do is instead of using a conventional barbell, which is going to have a 1-inch or a 1 1/16-inch diameter, use a thick handle barbell, what they call a fat bar, thick bar. Your thick bar usually is going to come in 2-inch, 2.5, or even 3-inch diameter. You load that sucker up, and you do an overhand deadlift, or you do your power holds with the thick bar. And now what you're doing is you're not only training the fingers, but you're training the thumb, because the thumb, instead of the fingers wrapping all the way around the bar and the thumb just kind of coming along for the ride, finishing up being over on top of the fingers, now the thumb has to work because your fingers can't get all the way around the bar. So you're literally, you're pressing the bar between your fingers and your thumb.
It's almost like a pinch, but it's an exaggerated pinch. You're actually pinching now.
It's training what we call the pinch grip strength, training your thumb. And thick-handled barbells and dumbbells are all about thumb strength. You know, they work the fingers as well, but what they primarily work is the thumb because of the wide grip. Now, again, let me make an important point, and this ties again into April's portion of the show. Be very careful when you start using a thick bar, because if you go too hard, too heavy, with too thick of a bar, yes, you can end up with elbow problems. And some guys with relatively small hands are probably better off using a 2-inch thick bar. Guys with big hands can use a 2.5 or even a 3-inch bar. But, you know, you start light. It's a new exercise, so work up to it. Yes, you've had carryover effect from the other power hold exercises you were doing and from the grippers, the captain, the crush grippers that you're squeezing. But, you know, to a large degree, it's a new exercise. You're working the thumb. So start light, start easy, build up. Probably for most people, the best thing to do at first is to just do a timed hold with a 2 or 2.5-inch bar. And a couple of sets of that, again, you won't be able to pick that key up off the ground when you're done using them. Carl, a lot of people over the years, you know, I've been talking about thick bars ever since I wrote Dinosaur Training, and, you know, that came out in 1996. So
right.
It's been a long time.
Right.
Cover thick bar training and dinosaur training. I covered it in a book that came out last year, Strength, Muscle, and Power. You know, and a lot of people read these, and they're confused because they say, well, wait a minute, if I use a thick bar for my training, you know, for example, if I do deadlifts with an overhand double overhand grip on a thick bar, I can't use enough weight to train my back muscles, so what do I do? Okay, and I get that email, you know, once a week at least.
Right.
So the answer is really simple. The answer is do your deadlifts to train your back with your regular barbell. Use a reverse grip if you want, because you're training your back. You're focusing on your back.
Right.
Then, at the end of your workout, and you do it at the end of your workout, because once you're done, you can't do anything else. You can't hold a bar. At the end of your workout, then you do your grip work, which can include the work with the thick-handled barbell. Okay, so...
And by then, your grip work is really pounded.
Oh yeah, you know, when you're doing a heavy deadlifts, you're training your grip anyway.
Right.
So, you know, now it's almost an icing on the cake type thing. So that's a really, really good way to do it. And If I might, may I jump back to the point you made about different grips and different positions?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
I want to give the readers a unique exercise that doesn't take any equipment at all. And it has a very unique position for the wrist, which translates into real interesting things for your fingers, your thumbs, and your forearms. And it can become a very advanced, very brutal, very effective way to train your forearms and grip. And that exercise is performing chins or pull-ups, not holding on to the bar, but holding on to two towels that have been folded into essentially a rope, looped over the bar. You grab one end, you grab the two ends of each, one in your right hand, one in your left hand. So you're hanging from those towels. And just think about your position. All of a sudden, you're doing a pull-up with your hand in a vertical position,
right,
your thumb at the top, and it completely changes the pull-up exercise.
Wow. That's got to be hard to hold on to.
Most people, when they do it, and this I would catalog as an advanced exercise, most people, when they do it, cannot even hold on to the towel, much less do a pull-up.
Right.
Very, very effective exercise.
I mean, imagine doing rope push-downs without those rubber stoppers at the end.
Exactly.
And trying to facilitate a push-down while focusing on holding on to that rope with your grip.
Yeah. Or imagine that you loop a rope around a bar and you perform deadlifts while the hand is down, thumbs down.
Wow, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, now that's the same motion as the pull-up. Thumbs down, pulling up. Thumbs down, lifting a weight is the same as thumbs up, pulling your own body weight up.
Sure.
Okay. And if you really, as you get stronger at that, you start out. To make it easy, I'll tell readers how to progress into this, or tell listeners. You start out, let's say you're right-handed. Your right hand on the towel, right up underneath the bar. Your left hand, hold the bar.
Oh.
So you do a pull-up with your left hand on the bar and your right hand on the towel, and what you're doing is you're working to build strength in that right hand. Then you do another set with the right hand on the bar, the left hand holding the towel.
Right.
So you move the towel from side to side.
So it's almost you're doing it unilaterally. You're introducing this new grip work unilaterally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very cool.
And then what happens as you get stronger, you go farther down on the towel, and by the time you have, your hand is maybe 12, 14, 15, 16 inches down at the end of the towel, the other hand's on the bar, and you're still doing a pull-up and pulling up and touching your chin to the bar every rep, you're starting to have some really serious forearm strength. And it also has a great effect for the biceps and the back muscles as well.
And I want to talk about that. I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back,
okay,
I want to talk about the effects of some of this training on bicep training, because there apparently is a difference in the kinesiology, the way the arm works when you're using a fatter grip. And I also want to talk about sandbags for a moment, too.
Sure.
All right. So we're talking with Brooks Kubik about how to build massive forearms by focusing on grip strength. And you know what? And the truth is, grip strength is more functional anyway than just having big forearms. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Me and my girl, we got this relationship. I love it so bad.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895
5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Brooks Kubik, and we're talking about building massive forearms by focusing on building grip strength. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it, Brooks?
Absolutely.
I mean, it always comes down to strength begets size. It really does. I mean, that's the one thing that is absolutely always for sure. So there you
function
go.
Dictates design.
There you go. I like that. Function dictates design. All right, so let's talk. Before we went into the break, there was one thing that you wanted to cover, and then I wanted to ask you about using sandbags for grip work.
Sure. Well, one thing I wanted to say is on those double rope pull-ups, as I was saying, you progress to the point where you're holding the towel pull-ups. You're holding the towels, one towel in the right hand, one towel in the left hand, and then your progression is the hands gradually drop lower and lower. The lower you hold the towels, the harder the exercise, okay? And the other progression that I'm going to add to that is when you get really good at this, really strong, okay, when you do your pull-up on these towels, throw in a little bit of a wrist curl, okay? In other words, you try to wrist curl your body weight as you're hanging from those towels performing your pull-up. Now, you won't be able to get complete 90-degree flexion of the wrist, but if you just try a little bit, you'll get forearm development like you can't imagine and tremendous strength. It's a wonderful exercise. It ties together the finger strength, the thumb strength, forearm, just everything. Terrific exercise. Great effect on the biceps, too.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a product. I'm actually trying to get them to become sponsors if I can get them to get back in touch with me. And it's something that you've actually endorsed called Fat Grips, I believe it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of a
I guess you would call it a sleeve that is made out of what appears to be a very rigid neoprene or something like that, that you can just slide over the bar and increase the width of the bar that you're using.
Make an instant thick bar.
Right. Now, and that's great because you're not going to find thick bars in most gyms except maybe Westside Barbell and a couple other places like that. And I've read articles that say that training biceps with a thicker grip somehow elicits a greater response to the bicep muscles. Is that true?
Well, I think it is, but I don't think it's because of the biceps as much as it goes back to that hand and thumb and finger action.
Right.
Because you're getting so many more nervous impulses going. And where are the nervous impulses coming from? From the brain, and they're shooting down the arm, down through the bicep, into the hands and fingers.
So the bicep is getting sort of a wake effect of the nerves that are trying to communicate with the grip.
Yeah, that's what I think the answer is. Now, you know, it may be the other factor too is if you look at the leverage and the physics of the movement. If you're doing a thick bar movement, the weight is farther away from the body because the thickness. You know, the thickness of the bar pushes the weight farther away. And you mentioned sandbags. You know, if you do a curl, for example, you do let's say you have a 100-pound sandbag, you grab it by the top, and it's packed loose. Grab it by the top, and you do a double-handed, like a hammer curl movement, okay?
Right.
You'll find that it's a very different movement, particularly if you finish with the thumbs close to the shoulders and the bag kind of out in front of you.
Right.
Very different movement because the leverage has changed. You know, the leverage, you know, the bag is away from the body, it's falling forward, and you're having to fight to hold it back. Well, that's the effect that you get anytime you're using a thick bar. You know, so that's gonna tax the biceps a little bit more as well.
Interesting. Very interesting. So now, how frequently should somebody train grip? Is grip something, again, I have an opinion on it, but I want you to voice yours first. Is it something that, you know, once a week, twice a week, or can the grip work be done even with greater frequency?
I would train the grip the same as any other significant muscle group that you're training for strength. And that means probably twice a week for most trainees. Once a week would actually work okay, but twice a week is better. You can do it three times a week, but if you do, you probably want to use different exercises. Now, one of the things about grip training when you're doing it really hard and really heavy is you're starting to work not only the muscles, but the tendons and the ligaments as well. And the tendons and ligaments usually require more time to bounce back from heavy training than the muscles. So that's a good reason to, you know, as I said, mix things up. So depending on what you're doing, twice a week, three times a week, and make sure that you're spacing these things. You're spacing your whole, you know, your whole training in a way that makes sense. For example, if you do heavy deadlifts and a heavy bicep workout one day, and then another day you do other things, and then you finish with grip work, you're really probably doing more for your grip than you're thinking about because your bicep work is inevitably going to have some grip component and your deadlifts are going to have grip component. You know, so you want to think, how do I do the exercises together? We mentioned earlier doing deadlifts and then doing your grip work, which I always think is a great thing to do. It's kind of a natural one follows the other. But what were you going to say about that?
Well, two things. Number one, I think that grip work can be done with greater frequency because the muscles of the forearm, because of their nature, because of what we talked about before, the high repetition capacity for them, they recover very quickly. It's virtually impossible to have delayed onset muscle soreness in your forearms, no matter how hard you train them. So I believe that speaks to the fact that you can train them with greater frequency and get a greater response, number one. Number two, I love to combine farmer's walks with dumbbell curls when you pronate the wrist. This is a great movement, and you can use it on arm day to train biceps. Mm-hmm. But take a relatively heavy set of dumbbells, not something that so fatigues you that you're done in just, you know, one pass past the dumbbell rack, but something where you can walk around the gym and really get that intense lactate buildup in the forearms where they're burning. And you still have strength enough to hold them. They're not wrenching themselves out of your hand. And then walk over to the dumbbell rack, drop those and grab a set of dumbbells like 40s now, and then rep out and do dumbbell curls. And if you, not only will your biceps get hammered, but your forearms get tortured. I love this movement. It's a fantastic movement. The last thing I was going to say, I forgot now. So there you go. Anyway, this is part of aging. I didn't sleep last night at all. I was up working most of the night, unfortunately. It's not something I do very often, but last night I was just in the groove and I just went with it. But I really love that. I love doing farmer's walks followed by dumbbell, curls. When you pronate your wrist, start out with palms in, palms up at the top, and really, really give them a good twist at the top. Almost like, Zercher curl or something like that? Is that what they call it?
Zottman curl.
Zottman. Zercher's a Zottman. Squat. Yeah, Zercher's a squat. Zottman curl. Almost like one of those where you really exaggerate the movement at the top. And I love that for forearms and for biceps at the same time. But I believe you can train your forearms a lot more often than you think you can. I would challenge anybody to overtrain their forearms. I challenge you to do it. I really would. So I like to find one person who has delayed onset muscle soreness in their forearms after overtraining them. Call me. I want to have you on the air. I want to know what you did because I want to be able to do that too. So anyway, we're coming to the end of the interview, Brooks. Let's go ahead and plug your wonderful website where there's a vast amount of information for people who want to take some time and learn.
It's www.brookscubic.com. That's Brooks Cubic, KUBIK.com. And as I mentioned before, for those who are really interested in the old-time way of training the grip and forearms, Dinosaur Training has two complete chapters on it. Strength, Muscle, and Power has another six chapters about different exercises, thick bar training, sandbag training, heavy awkward objects, the farmer's walk, all kinds of deadlift variations specifically designed for building finger strength. A lot of good stuff in those two books.
Yeah. And you know what? Grip work is important. And I know what the last thing I wanted to say. You just reminded me.
Okay.
There is such a – I cannot tell you how important it is to think about your grip while you're doing everything you're doing. You talked about Mike Metzer before.
Yeah.
You know, when you're curling, when you're bench pressing, when you are deadlifting, when you are doing anything, you're doing flies, you're doing whatever it is, think through to your grip. Make sure that you are holding whatever the stem of your holding as tight as you can while you're training. This will do two things. It will get your grip to respond and your forearms will respond, but more importantly, it'll make you stronger in the target movement that you're doing. Would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was an article in Iron Man 30, 40 years ago called Concentrate, But How? And the guy said you get like a rubber hose, you put it over your bar, and you squeeze it
Bingo.
As tight as you can.
I like that.
On everything you do. He said that was his secret weapon.
I like that. Because if your forearm is sticking with the movement, it's like the old adage, like when I boxed for police athletic league when I was a kid, and they used to tell us when we would hit the heavy bag, punch through the bag. Imagine what you're hitting is behind the bag. So you want to punch through the bag. And that way you're delivering the maximum amount of force all the way through the punch. Well, you have to think through the movement and you have to grip, you have to focus through the movement. You have to focus to your grip. If you're focusing on your grip, what work you're doing is going to be you're going to have a lot easier time doing it because you're focusing on your grip. You're focusing past the movement that you're doing.
That's absolutely right. Strength training is mental. It's about putting the mind into everything that you're doing. It's about intense concentration, incredible focus. And if you're not getting your grip involved in whatever you're doing, you don't have that focus.
That's right. If you're not getting your grip involved in everything you're doing, then you're leaving 10, 20, 30% of your strength on the table for the movement that you're doing.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Listen, we've come to the end of the interview. I'm obviously not going to train today because I didn't sleep and my mental strength is weak today. So I'm going to go home.
You get the day off.
I'm going to go home and maybe sit in the sauna later. That's about it. Brooks, thanks so much. I know that you're going to be traveling and interviewing someone for one of your upcoming writing projects, someone who is obviously was hard to find and is an old timer. Can't wait to hear more about that. And of course, check out Brooks's Legacy of Iron books. They're wonderful books. If you want to read something that has both physical culture and fiction wrapped up into one, any one of these books, Legacy of Iron, these are great books. Everybody should get one. Everybody should read one. Great entertainment. Brooks, thanks so much for bailing me out today and making this a perfect show.
My pleasure. It was great fun.
And we'll see you when you get back, okay?
Sounds good. Take care, Carl.
Take care. All right, and that's it for me today. I will have another show for you tomorrow. We have a great show tomorrow, actually. We have not only Mike Mahler, Ori Hofmeckler, and Professor Dr. Andro, also known to me as Adele, on the same show tomorrow. This is going to be a mega show. You're not going to want to miss this show. We're going to be addressing how to eat vegan if you want to eat vegan the right way. And number two, is your body already set to be obese? We're going to be talking about set points, what you can do about it. We'll see you tomorrow.